left. The shoves the mass left means that she calmed down, meaning that there's pain. But no, that not. We're going to see actually. We're going to discuss in the Gemara about we're going to have a machlokas later on between Rav Chista and Rav Chanina whether it's the. It definitely has to be the pain. The question is, what if the blood and the pain stops? Does that make a difference, or is it strictly if the pain stops but the blood is still flowing? That we're going to see on Lama Zion in a bit. But in any case, here shoves it just means the pain, right? So the pain calmed down, mass less, for 24 hours, the yolda, and then she gave birth. Harezi yoledes bezoiv divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer makes her yoledes bezoiv because the fact that you had a calming down the pain for 24 hours shows that therefore the blood that she saw before was not as a result of the baby that's about to come. It was something else, and therefore she's a zola. Rabbi Yeshua, I'm a laila v'yom, kalele Shabbos v'yom. Rabbi Yeshua says, it's not just enough for it to be 24 hours. It has to be a night followed by a day, like the night of Shabbos that's followed by the day. In other words, Rabbi Yeshua would say, let's say, for example, we had like this. Suppose that she had bleeding on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Leave it open.
No, open it more.
Okay. Okay, so let's say, for example, she had bleeding on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and during that whole time she's having labor. Now let's say, for example, Tuesday afternoon, let's say Tuesday noon, the pain stops. The bleeding is continuing, let's not get into that machlokas right now, but then later on, then from 12 noon on Tuesday until 12 noon on Wednesday, nothing, no pain, and then sometime on Wednesday she has a baby. Rabbi Eliezer would say, okay, well, she had 24 hours of calmness, of no pain, therefore that means she's a Yeledes Bezoiv. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. In order for her to be a Yeledes Bezoiv, it would have to be that the calming down began at night and continued throughout the next day. In other words, he would say that only if, let's say, Tuesday, shortly before nightfall, though the pain stopped, and then they continued, she had no pain after that, the entire Tuesday night, the entire Wednesday day, and then sometime Wednesday night she had the baby, that's when Rabbi Yeshua would say she's a Yeledes Bezoiv. But not if it was from the middle of one day to the middle of next. And in fact, actually the Ritva says that maybe even Rabbi Yeshua means not just that it has to be a night and a day, that why does he have to compare it to Shabbos then? Any day, you could compare it to any day of the week. He says maybe the idea is just like Shabbos, you don't begin and end Shabbos at exactly the same time of day, right? You have toast for Shabbos. You have a little bit extra at the beginning and a little bit extra at the end. So maybe the same thing over here. He says it would mean that it would have to be not just an exact 24 hours from one time in one evening until the exact time the following evening. It would have to be a little bit extra.
Because of pain. We never said that.
What we said is, no, because we're talking about because she bled before it. We're talking about she bled on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, but that was with pain, and we'll see in the Gemara why that does not make her a Zava in and of itself. But if there was shofi, if there was calmness from pain, then it depends how long it was. Rabbi Eliezer says as long as it's 24 hours, doesn't matter when in the day that 24 hours begins and when it ends, as long as you had at least 24 hours, then we say the bleeding is not directly attributable to the birth, therefore she's a Zava, therefore she's here, let us decide. Rabbi Yeshua is saying it has to have to be a night followed by a day. Not just 24 hours, but it has to have to be a night followed by a day. Again, like I just said, in other words, if, for example, the pain stopped in the middle of the day Tuesday, that's what we're talking about. Wait, but in other words, the bleeding, let's say, is continuous. We're going to have a machlokas later on, Rav Chista and Rav Chanina, whether we're talking about that the bleeding stopped or not. Let's say we're talking about the bleeding is still continuing. Everybody agrees then So she bled on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Tuesday noon, the pain stops. The bleeding is continuing. The pain has stopped. The pain stopped. 24 hours later, she has the baby. Rabbi Eliezer says Yeledes Bezoiv, because she went 24 hours without pain. Wednesday noon, no, Wednesday at 12:01, whatever, she had the baby. Rabbi Eliezer would say 24 hours without pain, therefore she's a Yeledes Bezoiv. Rabbi Yeshua would say,
you have the child, you have pain.
No, not necessarily. Sometimes you have women who give birth without pain. But the point is, she didn't have labor pains for 24 hours before the birth. So the fact that those pains calmed down shows that the previous bleeding, even though it was accompanied by pain, was not directly related to the birth. Rabbi Yeshua is saying that still does not make her a Yeledes Bezoiv. Only if the bleeding stops before Tuesday night, and then she had the baby Wednesday night, that so you had a night followed by a day of no pain, that's when we would say she's a yellow disease.
Doctor
night and day.
The
bleeding we're assuming is continuous. Tosfos and Tosfos and Rosh explain basically that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing what Tosfos says briefly, Tosfos and Rosh says in more detail. They're basically arguing on the question, they're arguing on the svara. What makes it that the blood is coming during those 3 days beforehand? Is it davka? Basically, they're arguing on the svara, like how we know. Tosfos HaRosh uses the expression "Ayde b'ki and betolus demayim." Like they talk to people who are expert on these things. They're experts on childbirth to determine what kind of shofi, what kind of period of calmness is enough to show that the blood is not directly related to the birth. Rabbi Eliezer's experts told him any 24 hours, and Rabbi Yeshua's experts told him davka if it's a night and a day in that order. In both cases, we're talking about that the pains calm down, even if the blood did not stop. We'll see in the Gemara later on, we'll have a machlokes if the blood does stop, does that affect anything? Okay. Kamahikishuya. Now, the next question we need to ask is, okay, so now we have the machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, how much break from pain does there have to be between the end of the pains and the birth for her to be considered a yoledes d'zayiv or not? Now let's talk about the other end of it. How long can we say that if she's bleeding continuously day after day that she shouldn't be a zava? Like this, we talked about she had 3 days in a row, but what if it was 10 days in a row? What if it was 20? What if it was 50? So that's another machlokes. Kamahi kishuya, Rav Meir Omer after the Aborim b'chamishim yom. Kishuya means that she's having pains, right? Contractions. But you can translate the contractions when a woman has contractions are a form of pain, right? When a woman has contractions, she has pain, right?
The contraction of pain, two different things.
The reason why to think of it as contractions, maybe because the word kishui meaning hard, like when you have contractions, you know, muscular contractions, it feels hard. Okay, anyway. Fine. Kami kishui. Contractions that cause pain. Most women when they have contractions
cause pain, but pain doesn't come
from pain. Okay, whatever. Fine. Whatever. Rav Meir says it doesn't matter how long, even if it was 40 or 50 days, where she's having pain and she's bleeding, even if it's 40 or 50 days before the birth, she's not considered a zava from that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Dayachod. Sure, Rabbi Yehuda says it's enough to consider her that it's koshi, and that therefore if there's no 24 hours or Laila V'yom or whatever of no pain, that she shouldn't be a zava. It's enough to consider that only within the 1 month. So once she enters the ninth month of pregnancy, says Rabbi Yehuda, fine, you can say that if she's bleeding continuously every day throughout the ninth month, and then afterwards you don't have the 24 hours of shofi, and then she gives birth, fine, we can consider that she wasn't a zava. But if the bleeding started any time earlier, any time in the 8th month, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can't call that. You can't say that so far in advance. That should have to do with the birth. If you don't have the break, then she's not a yoledes b'zayiv. Well, so that's the thing. Okay, so 1 second. So now what we have is like this. So if there was three days or a week or whatever, then it depends whether there was a break or not. But if, now let's say, for example, let's say she started bleeding in the middle of the 8th month. So now she's bleeding every day. She's finding blood for the last week, let's say, of the 8th month, as well as the whole 9th month. You're talking about 40 days or so. Rav Meir would say that's okay. As long as you didn't have the break, as long as you didn't have the shofi, the 24-hour break, then she's not a yoledes b'zayiv. Rav Yehuda is going to say, no. The first few days that are at the end of the 8th month that she's bleeding, you have to consider her a zava for that. You can't consider that the birth is going to cause her to bleed that far in advance. It has to be that made her a zava. Later on, eventually, she has during the 9th month, she's having damkoshi. Fine.
Damkoshi means
blood from pain, from vein, no, blood from pain, from contractions or whatever you want to call it, yeah.
Okay.
So that has to do with the birth.
So according to them, it can't start in 8 months.
It can't start in 8 months, right. It has to be damped in the 9th.
Then it means she's
a zava. Rabbi
Yehuda.
That we said if a baby is born in 8th month, they're not viable. We're not even getting into that. We're talking about the baby is born at the end of 9 months, like normal. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon. I mean, ain't kishu Yosef mishtei shabbosis. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say the maximum time for kishu is 2 weeks. So again, so in other words, they would say that even during the 9th month itself, if she started bleeding at the beginning of the 9th month and it's during her 11 yemei ziva, she's a zava. As long as she has 3 days in succession of bleeding, then she's a zava gdola. She needs 7 clean days. Only if the bleeding began within the 2 weeks before the birth, within the last 2 weeks, before she gives birth, at the end of the ninth month, and then it was continuous, and then you had no 24-hour break, and then she gave birth, then you would say she's not a Yoledes B'Zayis. But if she started bleeding any time before those 2 weeks, Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon are going to say, then she's a Zava regardless, whether there was we had Rav Meir, we had Rav Yehuda, we had Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon. So again, we have to distinguish between when did the bleeding start, and we have to distinguish between how long before the birth did the pain end. So again, you have the first part of the Mishnah is talking about how long before the birth the pain ended. We have Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Is it any 24 hours, no matter when in the day it begins or ends? Or is it, like Rabbi Yeshua says, it dafka has to be a night followed by a day? And then, on top of that, you have another machloek that this is all assuming that the bleeding was all within only a few days before the birth. But if it was more than 2 weeks or more than a month before, that's when you have the second machloek that's in the Mishnah, how long before the birth can we start attributing this blood to Dam Koshi rather than plain Dam Ziva? Okay. So the Gemara starts off. When the Mishnah said Hamakasha Nida, what does that mean? Also call him a kasha nidahi. What do you mean? Whenever a woman has dam kishui, it makes her a nida. What do you mean? And what happens if it's during the days of Ziva? During the 11 days of Ziva, by definition, she can't become a nida. By definition, you may nida as only the first 7 days of each month's cycle. So therefore, that's what we have to ask. What does it mean, I'm a kasha nida? On the face of it, it sounds like any time a woman has dam kishui, then it makes her a nida. But what do you mean? If it's during the 11 days of Ziva, then it can't be. In other words, okay. Let's define our terms. Remember, we have 7 days of Nida followed by 11 days of Ziva. So remember, we're going to talk, by the way, according to the majority of Rishonim. The Rambam has a different shita on this. We mentioned it briefly. The Rambam's shita is very difficult to understand with this Gemara over here, but anyway. But let's say, for example, according to everybody else, let's say a woman has a regular cycle that every Rosh Chodesh she bleeds. So then what we say is, let's say, for example, comes Rosh Chodesh Adar. She starts bleeding Rosh Chodesh Adar, so that's the beginning of her Yemei Nida. From Aleph through Zayin Adar, doesn't matter whether she bled a little, a lot, or whatever, night after Zayin Adar, she goes to the mikvah, and she's good. After that begins 11 Yemei Ziva, which is, if during any of those eight of those 11 days, the 8th through the 18th of Adar, she were to bleed, then she would be a Zavach Tana or a Zavach Dola, depending whether there were one or two versus three or more days of bleeding.
Which goes against the
middle. No, hold on. If this is all talking about aside from birth. Eventually, what happens is, eventually those 11 days are over. According to most Rishonim, again, not like the Rambam, according to most Rishonim, the days after that are, they're nothing. They're not Yemei Nida, and they could be Yemei Nida. They're not anything yet until the next time she bleeds. But let's say the next time then she bleeds is Rosh Chodesh Nissan, let's say. So then that begins a new cycle of Yemei Nida. So again, you have the first seven days of the month, then you have the next 11, and then after that it's open.
After the 18 days,
then it's open any time after that. Any time from the 19th of the month and onwards that she bleeds, she'll start a new Nida cycle. So now what we're saying is like this. We're saying Hamakasha Nida. So what would that mean? Let's say we come to Nissan. So are we saying that any time that she has Tishri during Nissan, she's automatically going to be a Nida? What do you mean? If she has it during the first 7 days of Nissan, fine. That's her 7 days of Nida, from the first through the seventh. But if she has it between the 8th and the 18th of Nissan, those are Yemei Ziva. By definition, she can't be a Nida at that time, even if it had nothing to do with the birth. She wouldn't be a Nida during those days, because if she bleeds during those days, she's a Zava.
She's a Yoledes?
Forget about your lettuce for a second. The question is, Hamakasha Nida, what are you implying that any time she has Tishri, automatically it makes her a Nida? Wouldn't it depend whether it's during the 7 days or during the 11 days? Amar Rav,
means
that she had pain. She had pain accompanied by bleeding. Okay.
And one more thing, the effect of a person getting pregnant or having a child, does that have any effect when their Nida cycle is?
Well, usually while a woman is pregnant, she doesn't bleed. In fact, we learned it to be usually giving birth is accompanied by bleeding. And we've actually, on top of that, we had a machlokas earlier in the Masechta on the question, is it epshel psichas akever b'ledam or not, when the womb opens, is blood inevitably going to come out or not? In fact, that's going to feature later on in our Gemara over here. The halacha is it does, but leaving that aside, here we're talking about the bleeding that took place before the birth. Our Mishnah, Makasha, is talking about the bleeding that takes place during the few days or weeks or what have you before.
I was just wondering if, right. if the person have, like you say, before you mentioned about giving birth, if that can have anything directly with a regular cycle of news.
Well, yeah, eventually what's going to happen is eventually after who you made Truma and you made Toyha, then she's going to have to start a new cycle. Sure. Omer Rav Nida L'Yoyma. So Rav says what the Mishnah means when it says Makasha Nida means that any time she has blood, even if it's during the Yimei Ziva, now it's true. There's no way that that blood could cause her to be a Zava because Dam Kishui. Nevertheless, because blood that has to do with pains from childbirth. Nevertheless, Midrabbanan, we make her as if she was a Nida for that one day. So she doesn't have to count 7 clean days or nothing, but that particular day, she's also to have relations with her husband. In the evening, she can total. She's not like a Zava. In other words, Rav says, the reason why the Mishnah uses the word Nida is to imply that all she needs to do is as if it was like the 7th day of her Nida. All she needs to do is total that night, and she's mutter to her husband. She doesn't need any clean days after it, no nothing. That's what he says. That's what Hamakashi Nida
means. This is talking about women's prayer.
We're talking about the woman is soon going to be giving birth. Right now she's having kishui, right now she's having pains and bleeding in the days before she gives birth. Right. So Rav says what it means is that if she had one day of bleeding or 2 days of bleeding or whatever, all she needs is after that, she needs to go to the mikveh that evening. She doesn't need any yimei toyha or anything. Or Shmuel Amar Chashin and Shema Tishba. Shmuel says no. What the Mishnah means actually is she does have to have one clean day, Midrabanan, because it might end up that she might end up having that 24 hours of calmness, of no pain, that we said before, which therefore it would turn out that this blood was not Dam Koshi and therefore that she was a Zava. Therefore, Shmuel says that Midrabanan, when we say Hamakasha Nida, what we mean is if she has Dam Kishui for one day or 2 days, she needs one clean day afterwards as if she was a Zava.
Then
she can be Moser to her husband. Then she goes to the mikveh, right. Rabbi Yitzchok Amar Hamakasha Ein Eflum. Rabbi Yitzchok says a third opinion. No, a woman who has Dam Kishui, a woman who has this bleeding that's accompanied by pains before the birth, if nothing, she's even allowed to have relations with her husband that day. So what do you mean, Valkatani, I'm a Kasha Nida? What do you mean? According to the Yitzchak, the Mishnah said I'm a Kasha Nida, which seems to imply that there's some kind of trauma involved. Amar Rava, so Rava says, Rabbi Yitzchak would say like this. What it means is, Bimei Nida Nida, Bimei Ziva Tahora. What it would mean like this, is according to Rabbi Yitzchak, if the Dam Kishui happens during the days of Nida, so let's say in our example, between the 1st and the 7th of Nisan, then she's going to be a Nida. That's the regular time when she had rest. But if during the days of Ziva, if it's, let's say, between the 8th and the 18th of the month, then she would be Tahor. Then she would be Tahor. V'ha Tanya, and indeed we learn in a Braisa like that, Hamakasha b'mei Nida, Nida b'mei Ziva Tahora. So therefore, when it says Hamakasha Nida in our Mishnah, what it means is, Hamakasha, if it's during the time of Nida, then she's considered a Nida. Hamakasha means that she's Makasha during the time of Yemei Nida, then she's considered a Nida. Then she's considered a Nida.
If it's during
Yemei Nida, then she's a Nida, exactly. Right. Kesad continues the Braisa, so what does this mean? Kishta Yoimechad, suppose she had one day of pains and bleeding, the Shof the Shnaim, and then she had the next 2 days that there were no pains, and let's assume that there was still bleeding. Osha Kishta Shnaim, the Shof the Yoimechad, or the other way around, 2 days of pain and bleeding and one day of calmness. Or she had a day of calmness where she was one day, so Sunday, let's say, she was bleeding without any pain. Then Monday, the bleeding was accompanied by pain. And Tuesday, again, she was bleeding without pain. In those cases, Harezi Yoledes Bezoiv, in all those cases, she's called Yoledes Bezoiv because you had Shofi, because you had calmness, no pain, during shortly before the birth, for the 24 hours or whatever.
It confirms
that the previous bleeding was Ziva rather than related to the birth, right? But continues the bride, the Shof to Yamecha, the Kish to Shnaim, suppose she had one day of bleeding without pain and then 2 days of bleeding with pain, or she Shof to Shnaim, the Kish to Yamecha, or 2 days of bleeding without pain and one with, or she Kishra, the Shof to Chazer, the Kishra, or she had pain with bleeding one day, and then calm, and then no pain with bleeding on a second day, and bleeding with pain on the third day. Ain zu yoledes bezoiv, then she's not a yoledes bezoiv. Klolo shaldaga, the general rule is koshi somach oleda ain zu yoledes bezoiv. If she had the pains are close to the birth, within 24 hours before it, then she's not a yoledes bezoiv. Sophie, some up for later, but if you have calmness, if you have 24 hours, or according to the Eliezer's or Rabbi Yeshua's definitions of how when those 24 hours begin and end or whatever, yes, then some up for later, immediately before the birth, then Harezi Yoledes Bezov, then she is called the Yoledes Bezov, says the Braisa. So we see from that, in other words, this Braisa works nicely with what Rava is explaining, what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, that this is all talking about only if it's during the Yimei Zot, or during the Yimei Ziva, during the 11 days. But if it was during the 7 Yimei Nida, then it wouldn't matter. Then it wouldn't matter either way. The fact that she bled during the Yimei Nida makes her a Nida. Okay. Continues the Braisa. Hananya ben Achir Rabbi Yeshua, Hananya, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, says, the rule is like this. Kol shachal kishuya b'shlishi shela. If her kishui, if her pain was on the third day, afilu kolayim kulei b'shofi.
The
third day since it started. Afilu kolayim kulei b'shofi. Then even if the entire daytime is calm, the third day is calm, ein zu yaledes b'zoiv, then she's not a yaledes b'zoiv. Now, what does that mean? So you actually have over here. So in other words, chal Rashi explains over here doesn't mean that it began. What it means is if she had bleeding even a little bit on the third day, and then we're talking about so she bled on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and a little bit into Tuesday night. Even if the entire rest of the night on Tuesday and all of the day on Wednesday and 1 hour into the night, Wednesday night, it was b'shoshi, it was without pain, then she's not yoledes b'zoiv. So what does that mean? The Ran explains Rashi over here to be saying that Hananya is saying exactly the same as his uncle Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah. Just like you don't have Shabbos doesn't begin an hour after Shkia, it begins at Shkia, and Shabbos doesn't end an hour after Shkia, after Sefer Kekovim, it ends at Sefer Kekovim. So the same thing over here. You have, let's say, for example, Shkia on this particular day is 6 o'clock, and she had bleeding after 6, then, even if she has 24 hours of calmness after that, then it's not Yoledes B'zoiv, because according to Rabbi Yeshua, you need from 6 until 6, let's say. For the exact thing, like Shabbos. So the Ran understands Rashi to be saying that Hananya is saying the same thing as Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah. Most of the other Rishonim, a lot of the other Rishonim argue with the Ran on that, because they say, in that case, then why is Hananya using a completely different expression than Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah? So they have a whole different understanding. They say what Hananya means is like this. We said in the Mishnah that if she had kishui, and we started saying in the Braisa, that if she has kishui for 3 days, then once you have 24 hours of shofi, of no pain, even though they're still bleeding, then she's yoledes b'zoiv. Hananya would be saying like this. If the kishui lasted any more than 3 days, then the only way for her to be a yoledes b'zoiv is not if there's 1 day of shofi, but only if there's 3 days of shofi. So he would say, according to their understanding, and this is how they understand Rashi to be saying, is that let's say, so she had bleeding on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, all with pain, so there was all koshi, then it continued into Tuesday night, even a short amount of time into Tuesday night, after Shkia, and there's still pain, then even if, it's not just that we would say that then she had the baby, let's say Wednesday night, then we would say she's yoledes b'zoiv. No, Hananya would say you would have to have 3 full days because the bleeding lasted more than 3 days. Now you need 3 full days with no pain in order for her to be a yoledes b'zoiv. So you'd need the entire Wednesday, Thursday, or not even Wednesday because you went into an hour.
More than three days of pain
plus bleeding means that after that, for her to be a yoledes b'zoiv, you have to have at least 3 days of no pain, of quiet. There could be bleeding. That's fine. But
at least no pain.
Yeah, but at least no pain. Only then would Hananya be saying that she's a yoledes b'zoiv.
And Rabbi Yeshua would say that,
once you had, according to Rabbi Yeshua, fine. So you've missed already Tuesday night and Wednesday because the pain continued into Tuesday night. But he would say, okay.
For example, the third day?
Tuesday night is already after the third day. She had Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. But now, Tuesday night, which is already halacha considered Wednesday, so Rabbi Yeshua would say, okay, then that's not Kalele Shabbos for Yom, because you already went past Shia, but Rabbi Yeshua would still say, so okay, as long as the calmness was Wednesday night, all of Wednesday night and all of Thursday day, from Wednesday night Shia until Thursday night Shia, then she would be a Yoledes B'zoiv, and Hananya, according to these Rishonim, would be disagreeing with that and say no, because since you need 3 days of Shia.
One says two, one says three.
Not two. But Rabbi Yeshua is not saying two. Rabbi Yeshua is saying you need one, but that one has to be complete from Shkia to Shkia.
Oh,
like this,
yeah.
From Shkia to Shkia. Whereas Hanani would be saying...
One on the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua, if we start, let's say, Tuesday night, Wait until Tuesday night. According to him, when would you...
So according to Rabbi Eliezer, as long as you have 24 hours, but according to Rabbi Yeshua, you need from the beginning, you need from Shkia, of one day until Shkia of the next day.
It's going to be 24 hours plus...
Plus whatever you had before it, right.
Next Shkia.
So that's what I'm saying. So if you had bleeding Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and it continued into Tuesday night, Rabbi Yeshua would say, okay, so fine, Tuesday night and Wednesday are out, we ignore them because not to lay the Shabbos the other night. But Wednesday night and Thursday, if there's still Shofi, then if she gives birth later on Thursday night, she will be a Yeletus Zov. And according to the Rishonim, according to the Rashba and the Rispa and other Rishonim's understanding of Hananiah, he would be saying no, because the bleeding and the pain lasted more than 3 days, therefore she would need three full days of Shofi before she can be considered a Yeletus Zov. And then the Rambam has yet another understanding of Hananiah, that it means basically that if she gave birth on the third day, okay, anyway. So that's Hanania's opinion. Okay. Now the Braisa had said Klolo Shaldova. The Braisa had said the general rule is the koshi, is the pain close to the birth, or is it further away? That's what determines whether she's a Yeletus Zov or not. So the Gemara says Klolo Shaldova Lasu Yemai. In the Tanakama's words of the Braisa, what are the words Klolo Shaldova? What does that come to include? And it comes Lasu Yemai, the Hanania. It comes to include Hanania's case. The Tanakama would be saying, I disagree with Hanania. I say, as long as there's Shofi Somach Leleda, I don't need, like Hanania is saying, that it means Kalele Shabbos B'yomer, that it means exactly a night and a day, like Rabbi Yeshua says. I certainly don't hold that there have to be 3 days of Shofi. I would say, as long as you have 24 hours, Shofi Somach Leleda, like Rabbi Yehuda. Doesn't have to be from Shkia to Shkia, like Rabbi Yehuda.
Now he's changing his...
No, the Tanakama is reiterating the Tanakama by saying, Kolo Shaldova is saying, I'm aware of Hananiah's case, but I disagree with him what the halacha would be there. The Rambam paskins like Hananiah. So that means, in other words, but the Rambam's understanding of Hananiah is that if she gave birth on the third day, then that's still not considered Shofi Somach Leleda. So if she had 2 days of bleeding with pain, and then on the third day itself, let's say most of the third day, everything was calm, but then later on the day, on that third day, she gave birth, the Rambam would say, she's not a Yeletus Bezos.
She'd need
3 days of bleeding plus one full day without pain and without birth. It's a good question. I don't know. It refers to Magen Mishnah and the Rambam, who explains why. I think part of it has to do with the fact that later on the Gemara discusses a couple of different opinions about you have Macholik Tanoim on this, which depends on what Hananiah is saying. So therefore, that implies. Next. Now, where do we know this whole concept from? This whole concept that we're saying that Dan Kishri does not make her a Zava unless there was Shofi Somach Leleda, where are we getting that from? So like this, the Tana Rabbanan, Dama, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk starts off, Ishak Yadav Zov Dama, if her blood flows, so the word Dama, her blood, means Machmas Atma, only if it's coming on its own from her, V'loi Machmas Vlad, not if it's coming as a result of a baby. Now, after Oma Machmas Vlad, so you're saying that the only exception is if it comes because of a Vlad. Maybe it means another kind of onus. So let's say, for example, if she jumped or did physical activity or whatever, and then she had bleeding, she wouldn't be a Zava. No. True Omer, the Isha ki Yazu, Zav Dama. No, because when the Pasuk says, if the woman's blood, if her blood flows, then that zoiv means a flow, regardless. Hare onus amr. So it means that's talking about a case of onus, that yes, she's a zava in that case as well. Ha mani makayim dama. So what do we do with the pasuk that says dama, her blood, which is a miut, that only if the blood is coming from her on its own, means machmas asma v'lai machmas blood. Okay, so in other words, we have a ribui and we have a miut. In other words, we have a ribui and we have a miut. We have a ribui that implies that any kind of flow from her makes her tama. Yazuv zoiv means any kind of flow. On the other hand, Dhamma means specifically if it's her blood, only if it's because of her own body, not because of something else that's going on. Such as a baby. Well, a baby. So the question is, now that we have a ribui and a miut, umar is the tires of blood of the time of oriness. So what's the logic to say that the mute of Dhamma should refer to a baby, and she's not Tome for Zoe from that, but on the other hand that she is Tome for oriness. So let's say she jumped and then bled. What's the difference? The reason is, logically, she has tara after. We're going to assume, if we have a ribui versus a mute, we're going to assume that the mute, which is telling us that she's not Tome, is talking about where she's having a baby. She has tara after, because after all, you have a certain amount of tara time after the baby is born, as we've been learning. You have yamei tara, right? You have for a boy 33 and for a girl 66 days, during which, even if she's bleeding, she's Tahar and Mutar to her husband. So therefore, it's more logical to say that when is the Torah say that if the Torah is telling us an exception, that there's only a certain kind, that bleeding, that's machma, something else, is not metame her, which something else is that likely to be a baby? Or metame ani ba'onis, shen tara achra, as opposed to a case of oinus, there's no days of tara after oinus. So therefore, it's more logical to assume that the Torah is saying that even if she bled to begin with ba'onis, then she's still Tahar. So the question is, adraba, continues the bride, say you could argue the other way around. Matarani ba'onis, she can onus the zav to her. You could argue the other way around.
The noise comes from the door. The calls will be much quieter.
They close the
I can close it. Thanks.
Okay, so the question is, Adraba Matahir Ani Ba'oinis. On the contrary, we should argue there's more reason to say that she's Tahir if blood came from her Ba'oinis, let's say because of jumping. She can Oinis Bezov Tahir. Because as we looked the other day, when it comes to a Zov, if there was Oinis, then he's Tahir. So you should apply the same thing to a woman. The answer is, the Gemara says that's not a big problem. Hashem, yeah, the Isha came in, because here we're talking about a woman after all. For Oinus Beisha La'ashkechon. We never find a case where a woman is Tahir when blood comes from her as a result of Oinus. So there's no particular reason to think that we said if she jumps, then she is. We said by Nidah, for example, that if she jumps and then if she has a regular thing, that every few weeks, we said that every few weeks was in the first parent. We have, let's say, that every few weeks she jumps on a certain day and then she has bleeding, right. Then she has a hybrid vest. She has a vest of a certain number of days also involving jumping. So we see, therefore, that we don't say the onus makes that she's not Nidah. So by the same token,
does that mean that she's jumping next to her cycle?
Yeah, well, we talked about in the first parent. That's right. Yes, yeah, so we had.
Jumps, yeah.
No, we're not just talking about that every time she jumps, she bleeds. No, we're talking about that there's a certain pattern here. Yeah. Okay, so the point is, so there we see that an oinus is not, that it doesn't prevent her from becoming Tomei. So therefore, the same thing over here. By Zolva, we shouldn't assume that it's Matahar who eats. So that's a logical reason to say, therefore, since we never find, unlike by a man, yes, where Ziva, Ba'onis, is Tahir, but by a woman we don't find that. So therefore, there's no reason to assume that the Torah is being reminded that.
And therefore, any onus.
Therefore, any onus, the Pashtus, should still be Tami. The Iboisema, or another answer you could give, why is that not a problem? My Dai Chol Tahuri Ba'onis or Tamuri Ba'vlad. So what's your logic? You're going to say that when the Torah is saying she's Tahir is when the blood came Ba'onis. What are you going to say? It's Tomei if the blood came as a result of an impending birth. What do you mean? Ein lacha onus gadol mizeh. A baby being born is the biggest onus in and of itself. It's definitely an external factor that's causing her to bleed. So therefore, if you're going to say that she's Tahir in the case of onus, automatically she would have to be Tahir. There she would have to be Tahir in the case where she's bleeding shortly before birth, because that's an onus as well. So therefore, it's more logical to say generally onus is Tomei. But in the case of the specific onus of a baby, then the Torah is Matari. Okay. So the question is, Yehochin Nidah Nami, Nema, so in that case, we should apply the same rule to a Nidah. This rule that was saying that if it's Machmas Asma, we should apply the same rule to Nidah. Nema Zoiva, Machmas Zoiva means Machmas Asma, Volei Machmas Vlad. We should apply the same thing. You have like this. There's two sections in the Torah, in Parashat Metzora, that describe, one describes the dinim of a nida, and the other one describes the dinim of a zava. First, it starts off, what's the lashon? V'isha kisi a zava, if a woman is a zava, dam yia zoiva bivsara. Her zoiv and her flesh consists of blood. And the Torah describes that she's Tomei for 7 days. Yeah, we quoted it before. Then a few psukim later, v'ishak yozuv zoiv damach yamim rabim, if a woman's flow of her blood continues for many days, then she's a zava. So now, the question is, not repeating, because one is talking about where it was in the regular time, and the other one is talking about beloy es nidasa, where it's not the regular time of her nida.
No.
You know what, let's bring over a chumash. Let's bring over a chumash. It's good to look at the first psukim.
Oh, so it makes a difference if it's from regular time or from
Sunday. Right, so that's the point. That's the second versus the 11 days, right. Okay, here. The first part that goes like this. The Isha can see a Zava. If a woman has a flow, now that doesn't mean she's a Zava as what we're defining. It means she's a nigga. Dum yi a Zava b'sara. Blood will be her flow in her flesh. She must yamim ki yamini gasa. Then she's nigga for 7 days, etc. Then a few psukim later.
That means nigga.
Then the Isha ki yazav Zav dum yamim rabim. If her flow of her blood lasts for many days,
that's a
Zava. At below Esnidasa, not at the normal time of her nidah, namely during the 11 days, or she flows beyond the time of her nidah, which we'll talk about close to the end of the Masechta, the details of that, then she's a Zava. So the question is like this. We just said that the word Dhamma here in the Pasuk Chapei about the Zava teaches us that only if the Dhamma, only if the blood is coming on its own, not as a result of a bathing. So by the same logic, we should say the same thing in Pasuk Yud Tes, where it describes the nidah, where it says Zava. We should say the same thing, only if the flow of blood is coming during the 7 days on its own, because it's her regular cycle, not if it's coming because she's about to have a baby. And then we should say the same thing. We would say, because it says Zoiva, which could mean her Zoiva. So she can't be a nidah then. So we would say Zoiva, machmas asma, v'loi machmas lab. We should say only if she's a Zoiva, only if she's a Zava, only if blood is flowing on its own, not because of a baby. And then you're going to say maybe a baby, maybe it means that she's not tummy if it was because of an onus. But then when it says at the beginning of that passage, if the woman has a flow, then that includes onus, because zava means that the blood is flowing regardless of the cause. So in other words, we should end up saying that the same way as during the 11 days of ziva, it depends whether the blood was coming because of an impending baby versus where it's coming because of some other reason, because of some other onus, or just without any known cause, we should say the same thing during Yemei Nidah. So why are we saying, as we quoted a braisa before, that if the kishui, if the pain and the blood come during the Yemei Nidah, we said she's a Nidah regardless? Why? What's the difference?
What do you mean, what's the difference? If you're saying
if we're using the same limud for by Zava, we should be able to use the same limud by Nidah.
Saying
that the blood has to come machnas asma, v'loi machnas vlad, exactly. So Rish Lakish says that's true, but Omakra, we have to go back a few parashiyas where it talks about the case where a woman gives birth, at the beginning of Parashas Tazria, where it uses the expression that teshev, that she should fit, meaning she should stay b'dmei tahara, and then teshev al dmei tahara. So therefore, that word teshev teaches us yesh lecha yeshiva acheres shikazu. There's another case where a woman is sitting in a period of dmei tahara, which is like this, the ezu, and what is that case? The ezuzu zu koshi b'nei ziva. This refers to koshi that takes place during the time of ziva. In other words, the extra word peshev over here is teaching us that there's a different case. Just like with dam toyar, we say even though during those 33 or 66 days she's bleeding and she's still mutter to her husband, the same thing over here. We have another example of a woman who's bleeding and is mutter to her husband. When is that? When she has dam koshi during the few days before the birth. So the question is the aim of Zukoshi be made nidasa. So how do you know it refers to Yimei Ziva? Maybe it refers to Yimei Nidah. Ella Omar Avor de Shmuel. So Avor de Shmuel says no. The reason why we see it as a difference, Omar Kra, because also by the Yoledes, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says that when she gives birth to a girl, she's tummy for 2 weeks like her Nidah. Now it doesn't have to say like her Nidah. We know already from a few Pesukim earlier that she has the same dinim as a Nidah. So it means the loik is ivasa. So therefore, that comes to teach us not like the time of her ziva, but afilu b'shoyfi, even if there was calmness, even if there was a short amount of shoyfi, of calmness before the birth, as long as it was less than 24 hours or less than the various periods that we talked about, and then the three-way machlokas, then I skipped a couple of lines here. Veloikizivasa. Yeah. So can you also have a loik as Ivasa? Miklal the Zivasa Tahar, implying that there could be a time when she would ordinarily be a Ziva, and now she's Tahar. The Ezu, and what is that? Zukoshi, Bimei Ziva. That refers to, now, well, obviously, if she has bleeding during her Yemei Ziva, usually she would be Tomei. So what must be the exception when she's during her Yemei Ziva, and she's bleeding, and yet she's Tahar, must be Dam Koshi. So Avodah Shmuel says that's where we learn it from. Okay, so the question is, well, we started by saying, we quoted a braisa that learned from the word dama, that says dama means machnas asthma, only if the blood is coming on its own, not if it's coming from a baby. Now Avodah Shmuel is telling us that we're learning this concept from Batamah Shwaim Kinidasa. So what are we doing with the word dama? The answer is e lav dama. If it weren't for the word dama, have aminik kinidasa v'loy kizivasa v'akulu b'shoyt. Then we would mistakenly think when we say that she's tahar, if the bleeding is during the time of her ziva, even if there was shoyt, even if there was a long time, 24 hours or whatever it is, of calmness, of no pain between the last pain and the birth, we would think she's still tahar. We would say gzeres hakosu, any dam koshi during the 11 days of ziva, no matter how far away it is from the birth, would still be tahar. We need the word dama to tell us that not. Only if there was not that shofi before the birth. So it means, in other words, that it has to be from her. But in other words, the Vatama Shwaim Kinidasa teaches us that there can be a time when she bleeds during Yimei Ziva and she's still Tahar. But Dhamma teaches us that's only true if that was Samoch Laleda, only if it was right before the birth with less than 24 hours break. Okay, so now let's go back to, at the beginning of the Gemara, we said there was a three-way machloikis about what the Mishnah meant Hamakasha Nida. We had Rav said that it means on the...
Further. So when the question is over here is, how do you prove that it cannot mean also a regular Nida period?
Because here it says Kinidasa. Here it clearly says Kinidasa, and we learn from that it means Veloikis Ivasa. So therefore, so there's no exception during the time of her Nida, she's always going to be talking. Only if during the time of her Ziva, then we can say that only so
less than 24 hour period.
Then she'll be talking, right. Okay. So now let's go back. We said at the beginning of the Gemara we had Rav's opinion that if she bleeds that she has one day of bleeding during the Yemei Ziva. So then Rav said she's also to have relations that day, midrabanan, but she can tovel that evening and she's mutter to her husband. We had Shmuel saying that she needs one clean day after it, and we had Rabbi Yitzchok saying that, and we had Rabbi Yitzchok and Rava telling us that she doesn't need anything.
Oh, which is no 3 days. That was
that's if she had bleeding 3 days in a row. Here we're talking about she had bleeding one day, let's say.
Yes, again, three people.
So yeah. Rav would say...
That night is good.
So Rav would say she can go to the mikveh that night. She's good. Shmuel says she needs one clean day after it. And Rabbi Yitzchok says she doesn't even need anything. On that same day that she bled, she's allowed to have relations with her husband.
What is it? That night means every 24 hours?
No. Forget.
Half my day. My night, you can go to the mikveh.
Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara told the story in this connection.
Because of the Yemei Tahara.
This is during the Yemei Ziva. It's impossible if this dam koshi, unless there ended up being a break after this dam koshi, unless there ended up being shofi close to the birth, then she's not going to be a zok from it, because we just said dama machnas asma v'loy machnas vlad. So therefore, Rav is going to say that there's no reason that Rav is going to say fine. At most, the chachamim are going to say that she's going to lose that one day that she can't have relations with her husband, but we're not going to make her lose the next day as well. Which is something that she's close to the birth, a few days before the birth, right? Yeah. Shmuel is going to say we're going to make her wait one clean day in case it turns out that it was trophy. And Rabbi Yitzchok says we don't even need to worry about that. So the Gemara tells a story in this connection. Shila bar Avina Obed Uvda Kavaseder Rav. Shila bar Avina, that was his name, one time passed in accordance with Rav's opinion. A woman had bleeding, had dam kishui for a day during her Yemei Ziva. And Shila bar Avina passed in like Rav that she's allowed to go to the mikveh that night. She doesn't need anything further. Kikonoch nafshe de Rav before when Rav was about to pass away. Amalei le Rav Asi. So he tells his Talmud Rav Asi, zilt sane, go sane, and we'll explain in a second what that means. Well, hold on. The Eloi tzayis garye, and if not, then garye. Now, what does that mean? Sane, Rashi says, means hide. Tell him to hide that sack in and don't pass him that way anymore. Rashi learns that Rav changed his mind and is saying, don't be machmir to say that she should be usur that day to have relations with her husband. Tell him that actually the halacha is like Rabbi Yitzchak, that she's allowed, that since it was during the Yemei Ziva, then there's no problem at all and she's even mutter to her husband that day. that day. There are other Rishonim that learn, other Rishonim actually learn that it was the other way around, that Rav is telling him, let's not be makel that much, right? We should rather hold like Shmuel and be machmer that you need the one extra clean day. Anyway, so what is Tzaneh and what is Gariyeh? So Rashi explains, again, that Tzaneh means hide that halacha. Don't be machmer, be makel. The halacha, I decided, after all, is to be makel, like Rabbi Yitzchak, because say she's tahor completely. There's a number of other possibilities that Rishonim and Achronim bring, including that Tzaneh can also mean to let me see. Samar Shah quotes one of them over here. That Tzaneh would be tell him not to do it, and not Meloshin Tzanua specifically, but just Meloshin tell him not to do it. And then what's Gariyeh? So here also you have a lot of different possibilities. Rashi learns that Gariyeh means convince him, grow or mashoich oisai, convince him with logical proofs to change his mind. So according to Rashi, that she shouldn't have to be tomei for the one day, that she should be completely tomei. Then that Marsha brings from the Aruch let's learn the Gemara and then we'll talk about it. Like I said, there's a lot of different. Okay.
Called Yimei Ziva, and that's why she's tired.
During the Yimei Ziva, we're talking about, she had bleeding for one day, right?
Yimei Ziva means that she's blood running.
No, Yimei Ziva means the 11 days during which she could be a Zava, if blood comes. In this particular case, she's about to give birth. She had bleeding for one day during those 11 days. Rav is saying that
before giving birth,
the 11 days for after her 7 days of Ziva, of Nida that month. Again, in the scenario before, she has her regular Yemei Nida that month, where the 1st through the 7th of Nisan and the 8th through the 18th are called the Yemei Ziva, regardless whether she actually bleeds during that time. If she does, she will be a Zava. If not, then she won't.
Okay, it doesn't mean pregnant.
Right. Okay, now we're talking about she is pregnant. She's about to give birth. She's soon going to be giving birth. And she had bleeding for one day with koshi, with pain. So now Rav is saying that doesn't matter. So Rav is saying, fine, that particular day she's also to have relations with her husband. That night she goes to the mikveh and she's mutter again. Shmuel said she needs one clean day after it. And Rav Yitzchak says she doesn't need anything.
Normally, for outside pregnancy, you need 2 days to be a Ziva Ktana and 3 days to be a Ziva.
One or two to be a Ziva Ktana and three to be a Ziva Ktana.
And three Gedola. So yeah. Why do we say one or two here the same with Yoledes?
Because over here we're talking about that it was dam koshi. So again, we just quoted a braisa over here that said, "Dama machmas asma v'loy machmas vlad." So if there's bleeding as a result of an impending birth, then it's not going to make a result. So Rav is going to say, in that case, then, given that it was with kishui, there's no real concern. We don't have to be concerned that it might end up being this shoyfi somacholeda, because usually it doesn't happen. Usually, as the Gemara is going to talk about later on Lama Zion on the base, usually you have the bleeding and the pain and whatever intensifies until she actually gives birth.
Right.
So it's not a usual thing that there should be a break like that of 24 hours or more. So therefore, Rav is saying, so fine, we can make her say, so Rav is saying, we can say that the day itself that she bleeds, fine, she's also to her husband. But all she needs to do is go to the mikveh that night. She doesn't need one clean day. Shmuel is going to say, this is Dirabanan. Shmuel is going to say, fine, I agree, Dirabanan, she's Torah. Dirabanan, though, we're going to say that we're going to consider her as if she was a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, because after all, there is the possibility there might be Shofi, and therefore, to be on the safe side, let her wait one clean day, and then Tovol, and then she's Mutter Torah.
Shofi would mean that
the pain calmed down, but there's still bleeding. That's what he said.
She's a Ziva.
If there was Shofi, then she would be a Zava. However, Rav is not concerned about that because it's unusual for there to be shofi somewhat later. Shmuel is saying, granted, but nevertheless, there is that possibility. Therefore, let her have one clean day with no bleeding, and then she'll be and then she can tovel and she'll be mutter.
Making it a little complicated because usually there's no Yimei Ziva if she's giving birth soon. You don't have that.
Yimei Nida and Yimei Ziva mean. So, right, you're right. Usually a woman is not menstruating during the pregnancy, fine, but nevertheless she could. And if she does, then she has Yimei Ziva. Again, you have to remember, according to the vast majority of Rishonim, not like the Rambam, but according to most other Rishonim, You can have her last period could have been 6 months ago, and it doesn't matter. She had her seven days of Nidra back in Tishrei, let's say. Then she had her 11 days of Ziva. Fine, let's say there was no bleeding during those days. Then 6 months later, we're now in Nisan. She's about to give birth. Now Rosh Chodesh Nisan, for the first time in 6 months, she bleeds. That begins a new cycle of Yemei Nidra. And then after that comes 11. Always after 7 days of Nidra, you have 11 days of Ziva. So that's what we're talking about over here. Okay. So anyway, so again, so Rav had said that she's not...
It's a big chiddush to make her a nidah during the Leges. That's a big chiddush.
The first time she bleeds after the 11 Yemei Ziva, she becomes a nidah. That is the definition of how nidah and Ziva
even
work.
Even if she's a Yeledes, and I'm saying that's a chiddush.
If the first blood is coming as a while she's actually giving birth, then you're right. That's blood of Yeledes. That's a whole different thing. We're talking about this bleeding before she gave birth.
But she's still pregnant.
Nevertheless, there's still blood coming from the uterus.
Chiddush.
What's such a chiddush about it?
There's
blood coming from the uterus. Fine, we're going to say Daya Shaita and all those nice things that we learned in the first paragraph. But nevertheless, there's blood coming from her uterus, and that makes her tummy. As long as there's not a wound in the uterus or something that it's coming from, then blood from her uterus makes her tummy.
Why can't you say blood from the uterus during the pregnancy is from the pregnancy?
It doesn't. So if it's accompanied by pains, and if it's within a few days or a few weeks or whatever, as we learned in the Mishnah, before the birth, then we will say it depends whether it was during Yemei Nidah or Yemei Ziva. If it's during Yemei Ziva, then fine. We have the pasuk over here that says Doma Machnas Asma, but we have no dispensation for Yemei Nidah. So as long as the bleeding takes place during Yemei Nidah, then she's going to have to be a Nidah. That's what we're saying. Now, so that's what we're saying. So therefore, but if it's during Yemei, so there's no fine.
It's a definition of during Yemei Nidah.
It's a definition
that she is Nidah.
Yes, that's what it is.
Even if she's pregnant.
Yes, that's exactly it. Yes.
But there is no evidence to
what evidence? You don't need evidence. You need that after 7 days of Nidah and 11 days of Ziva, after that, the calendar is open. The next bleeding after that makes her a Nidah. And here, the next bleeding after that is 6 months. 6 months since the last one, fine, because she hasn't been bleeding since early in her pregnancy. But that makes her a nidah again. 7 days later begins her Yemei Ziva. Now, if she has bleeding during those 11 days, that's where we have the machlokas amaroi. That's where we have Rav saying that she's also to her husband that one day, but only that one day. Shmuel saying that she's also the next day. The next day has to be a clean day, and only then can she travel when she's mutter. And Rabbi Yitzchok saying nothing
because it's during
Yemei Ziva. Because it's during Yemei Ziva.
Yeah, and why should she be also one day or 2 days?
Rav would say that she's also one.
Rav Yitzchok
would say you don't have to wait for anything.
Why? That's what I...
Because Doma Machmas Asma V'loi Machmas Blad. We just said.
We know it's Machmas Asma, then not Machmas Blad.
The very fact that it's happening with Kishui, and it's happening shortly before the birth, Rav Yitzchok is saying that's good enough for us to assume that it's probably connected with the impending birth. Therefore, Doma Machmas Asma, you're going to say maybe there could be Shofi. Sure, there could be, but it's unlikely enough that we don't have to worry about it, says Rabbi Yitzchak. Therefore, as Rava had given the rule before, we made Ziva Tahora, only if there was Shofi after it, only then does it turn out that retroactively that she was a Zava for 24 hours or a night and a day or whatever, yeah. But Rav is going to say, okay, but the fact of the matter is, as we're going to discuss later in the Gemara, during the seven clean days after being a Zava, if she has Dam Kishri for one day, she's going to lose that one day. Therefore, Rav says that's reason enough to say that she should lose one day over here where she's also to her husband. And Shmuel is going to go beyond that and say, after all, there is the possibility there might end up being Shofi, and therefore we need one clean, we need to consider her Misafik, we need to consider her a Zavak Tana, Shemer Siam Kenegad Yemen. Okay, now back to the story. Okay, so again, so Shila Bar Avina has passed from like Rav. Now, when Rav passed away, he tells Rav Asi, Zilk Sane, Viloi Tzayis Galye. So go Sane, and if not Galye. So again, one possibility is that Sane means tell him to conceal the Tzachdin, because I hold that now we should hold, like Rabbi Yitzchak, that she's completely mutter. The Aruch brings up a possibility that maybe it means, and the Aruch and some other Rishonim bring up a possibility that Sane means the opposite. It means I want to be Machmer, like Shmuel, and therefore you need to gently tell him change his mind. And if not, Garye. So Rashi explains Garye means convince him with logical arguments. The Aruch explains it means, if necessary, hit him or wound him or whatever. in order to get him to stop. By the way, you actually have a connection with this week's parasha. You have in the middle of this week's parasha, you have after the whole story where Yitzchak has been kicked out of Gerar and he went and dug wells, etc. So what does it say afterwards? Avimelech holach elav migrar. Avimelech came to him from Gerar. Now we know Avimelech's capital was in Gerar, so why does the Pasuk have to mention it? So the Medrash explains that the word Gerar can also mean injuries. So what happened was that Avimelech and his people were starting to suffer all kinds of physical pains and boils and all kinds of things like that, and that forced him to realize, you know what, I acted wrongly to Yitzchak, I better go ask him the chila. So in the same way over here, the word Gariyeh over here can also mean, if necessary, hit him to get him to stop passing. That's from Medrash Rabbah, yeah. Anyway, so who suffered Gariyeh? Now, the problem was that Rav Asi misunderstood what Rav said. He thought that Rav had said Gadyeh with a Dalet, which what does that mean? So Rashi explains Gadyeh literally means to cut him off, means put him in Cherim if he doesn't listen. Tosfos says, how does Rav Asi making a mistake between a Resh and a Dalet? They look similar in writing, but not necessarily in pronunciation. So Tosfos explains differently that he told that both of them was Gadyeh with a Dalet, but Rav had said it with a dalad rofa, with a dalad without a dogish in it, which means, therefore, convince him gently, Moshcheo b'divrei tam, Tosfos says, and he misunderstood Gadyeh with a dogish in the dalad, which means to put him in cherem. And then Marsha brings other possibilities, different other Mephoshim bring different other possibilities. The bottom line is that Rav had told Rav Asi to go do one thing, a more gentle thing, to get Shila Bar Avina, but to pass him differently, and Rav Asi misunderstood it as something harsher, such as to put him in Cherem. It also affects the question, does Rav mean that from now on he should be more Mekel, or that he should be more Machner? On the one hand, if it's that he's holding that now he should be more Machner, then Rav Asi might have a point to think that we have to be very serious about it, otherwise we're allowing a woman to her husband when she's nidder or zup. If we say that it's to be Mekel, on the other hand, then on the face of it, the Mephoshim asks, so what, doesn't Shila Bar Avina have the right to be Machner? And the answer is that no, the Orach HaNer, for example, mentions, no, it's pretty clear. When the halacha is that a woman is mutter to her husband, it's a very serious thing to ask her to be Machmir, because then you're preventing period verivia. The Gemara mentions elsewhere, for example, that Yeshua was punished very severely for preventing period verivia for one night. So yeah. Okay, anyway. So again, so Rav Asi misunderstood Rav, and he thought that it means a harsher thing, such as putting in chayim. So eventually, after Rav had passed away, Rav Asi goes to Shila Bar Avina and tells him, Hodabach, change your mind, retract your psak to Hodabay Rav, because Rav has changed his mind and he doesn't pass in that way and he doesn't hold that way anymore.
That she should be also
that day. Either, again, Rashi says he holds now that she shouldn't be also at all, like Rav Yitzchak, or some of the other Mephoshim explain that he's saying the other way around. We should hold, like Shmuel, that she's also for one extra day. Okay. Amarlei, so Shila answers, can't be. In Issa de Hodebe, if Rav had actually changed his mind, v'didi hava Amarlei, he would have told me personally, I'm his Talmud. So Loitzayas, so he said, I don't want to listen, I'm not accepting what you're saying in the name of Rav. So sure enough, Gadyeh, so.
But he didn't simply tell him that he just come on day, a day he died, he told
him. Yeah, but he's saying, but nevertheless, if Rav had really changed his mind at some point,
he died.
Yeah, but he didn't just change his mind on the day he died, but actually, he changed his mind sometime before that, especially because the Gemara says that, you know, he told him, Tikon Nach Nafshe Rav, and then Bosted Anach Nafshe. So sometime later, Rav Asi is coming and telling Shila this. So Shila is saying, if Rav really changed his mind, he would have taken the opportunity to tell me, sometimes close down. So Lord Sayyid, so he didn't want to listen to what Rav Asi is telling him. Gadyeh, so sure enough, Rav Asi is going to put him in Cherem. Or do whatever Gadyeh means, whatever, some kind of harsh thing. Amarlei, so Shila says, how could you do that? V'le mistifi ma'amid leksa, aren't you afraid of the fire? The fire of a Tamar Chacham, Shemati Kovab Gachalosin, as it says in Tirkei Avos, that you might be burnt by their hot coals. You have to be respectful around a Tamar Chacham. Amarlei, so Rav Asi answers as follows. I have schusim. Ano isi ben Yehuda. Duhu isi ben Guraye. Duhu isi ben Gamliel. Duhu isi ben Mahalalel. These are all. Now, actually, you have a Gemara in Pesachim that mentions a Tana that had all these names. Actually, the Gemara mentions even more names over there. He's also called Isi ben Akavia and a couple of others. So what it is, Tosfos says, And Tosafot says apparently what it is that was a plan. Now, here we're talking about an Amora, but he had the same names, or at least he had some of the same names. Some of them, before Hashem, say maybe he knew that he was a Gilgul of the Tana, Isi Ben Yehuda, whatever. He's saying, I have chutz ovis. I have the fact that I have, and that my previous Gilgul, whatever, has all these names, means that I have great chutzim. In particular, Ben Yehoyada talks about, for example, that Ben Gur Aryeh means that my father was a Tamad Chacham, like a lion in Torah. Ben Gamliel means that he did Gemilas Chesed, Gamliel Meloshin Goymel. Ben Mahalalel, Meloshin Mahalal Kael, that he davens. So I have Torah and Avoda and Gemilas Chasadim on my side. Therefore, I, and my name is Isi, which is similar to the word Osisa, which means a mortar. So I'm like Osisa de Nechosha. I'm like... A mortar is like a bowl that you grind up spices in. You take a stick called a pestle, right. Called an eli in Hebrew, and you use it to bang on the things in the bowl, and you break them up. So he's saying that I am like Osisa de Nechosha. I am like a copper mortar, the leshalat be rikva, where decay has no power over it. In other words, you're saying I should be worried about your fire. I should be worried about respecting you as a Talmud Chacham. You should know I have chus aves on my side. I'm like copper, which is impervious to any fire or any decay or whatever. Amarle, so Shila answers, Vana Shila Baravina, as far as me, I also have chusim on my side. I am Shila Baravina, Buchna de Parizola. Because the point is, he wants to put him in Cherim, and the other one is saying, you have no right to. In fact, actually, the Rambam writes, you have various cases where a person is supposed to be put in Cherim, and one of them is if a person puts somebody else in Cherim inappropriately, then he himself needs to be put in Cherim. So here, Shila Baravina, and Rabbi. They're both Talmidim of Rav, but nevertheless, the fact is, this all began because Rav Asi misunderstood what Rav said. So Shila answers, "V'ano Shila Baravina, Buchna de Parzala. I'm like an iron pestle, or the stick that you use to grind up the things. The metaber, a sisson, and a chosha that can break the copper mortar. So you're comparing yourself to copper, but I'm like iron, which is stronger than copper." So what happened in the end? Cholash Rav Asi. Rav Asi afterwards became sick. Ailuha b'chamini, and he's going into heat, he's having a fever, apkua mikriri, and they had to, and he's going from there into coldness, ailuha b'kriri apkua b'chamini, he's going back and forth between hot and cold, and also like whenever he has a fever, they're having to put him in cold water to bring down his fever, and then he's getting chills, and then they're having to put him in hot water, so like he's going back and forth. No, he did. That's the point. He put Shila in Cherem. That's what he said. Gadya, he did put him in Cherem. And that's when they had this whole argument between them. So now, as a result of all of this, Rav Asi now became sick.
Okay, I thought he was disgusted that he just told him that I want to have to put you in Cherem.
No. Gadya, he actually put him in Cherem. Because he understood Rav to be saying, if he doesn't listen, put him in Cherem. He didn't realize that Rav had been saying, convince him or hit him if necessary or whatever. Yeah. So now he's going back and forth from cold to heat. And in fact, Maosha and a couple of the other Mephoshim say, like, in a way it was midah keneged midah. He misunderstood. Rav had told him to treat Shila more gently, like with cold, and instead he went with fire and heat, and I'm Gadya, and I'm going to put you in the Cherem. So therefore, what happened to him is he's going back and forth from cold to heat. And eventually, Noch Nafshi, the Rav Asi, then Rav Asi passed away from that. Well, Ozel Shila, Shila didn't just say, okay, look, good, I won. Shila goes, Omel Advei, so he says to his wife, to his Rebbetzin, Svisli Zvadza, prepare for me provisions, meaning Tachrichim, in other words, because I'm going to pass away soon, because I don't want that Rav Asi should be going and saying to Rav, things against me. I don't want, Rashi says, Shalo Yalshin Alay V'snei Rav, I don't want him in Gan Eden to be going and telling Lashon Hara on me in front of Rav. The Maharal actually explains, what do you mean, Tadikim and Gan Eden are going to be talking Lashon Hara about each other? Right. So the Maharal explains what it means is, basically, because Rav had these two close Talmidim, Rav Asi and Shila are both close Talmidim of Rav, what's going to happen is, if only one of them is up there in Gan Eden with Rav right now, then it's sort of going to be unbalanced. Like Rav, like Bipnimius, Beruchnius, Rav is now going to be inclined more to that side. So Shila is saying, now I need to even things out, sort of. So I need to be there also. So therefore, Tzvitha Leizvadza. So sure enough, she prepared him in Chachmichim. Noch Nafshi to Shila, and Shila passed away. So one possibility is he realized because of what Rav Asi had said against him that he doesn't have long to live. The other possibility, actually, they bring from the Ur HaChaim HaKadosh. So But actually, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says an interesting thing in Parshas Bechukotai, that you have some exceptional tzaddikim who can decide for themselves when they are going to pass away. So according to that, that would fit with our Gemara over here, that Shila was on that level. But apparently there's different kinds of tzaddikim, and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh learns that there are such people who can decide for themselves when the time is that they're going to pass away, and according to that, Shila might have been one of those. So, noch nafshi the Shila, so sure enough, Shila passed away. So now you had a double funeral, you have a double levaya for Rav Asi and Shila.
Two big
tzaddikim.
Chozu
deporcha ofta mehai puria lahai puria. People saw by the levaya that a branch of hadas, they used to put hadasim on, on the coffin so they could see that hadasim was flying mehai puria lahai puria from one coffin to another. So it was flying back and forth. Maral says maybe also symbolically, Porach was flying. The hadasim were flying mehai puria lahai puria from one coffin to the other. While they're doing the Leviathan. The Maharal says maybe what it means is like not literally if they're flying in the air, but like they had a certain bundle of hadassim that they meant to put on Rav Asi's coffin and a different bundle that they meant to put on Shila's, and they mixed them up. So they realized it's not just by accident they mixed them up. It must be Min HaShemayim Amri. So they said, Shemamina Obdi Rabban Piyasa. That must mean that these two Chachamim made peace with each other, and that's why the hadassim are interchanged between them, to show that the hadassim is a metaphor for Tamir Chachamim, as Gemara mentions in Megillah and in other places. So therefore it shows that the hadassim are going back and forth between them, showing that after all they made peace between them.
Yeah, at least there's a little good part of the story, but it's sad because three people died. In this world they couldn't make peace. They had to make peace in the other world.
You know what? You have I don't want to get too far off topic, but you have something similar as far as Rabbi Yonasan Ivashitz and Rabbi Yaakov Emden. We all know about the famous machloikas between them that consumed so much energy and time and everything. And there was machloikas where Rabbi Yaakov Emden accused Rabbi Yonasan of having something to do with Shabbat Tzvi, and Rabbi Yonasan denied it, and whatever. It became a whole huge machloikas that drew in most of the Rabbanim of Europe at that time. Anyway, so the upshot is Rabbi Yonasan passed away eventually. About 12 years later, Rabbi Yaakov passed away, and the Noda Behuda at that time paskin that you could bury them even though the local minhag was that you don't bury enemies next to each other, but he paskin that they made peace in Gan Eden, and therefore he allowed them to be buried there. They're buried like there's one other person between them or something, so they're both buried in the same Beis HaKvaris in Altona, and there's only one person between them. Altona is a city in northern Germany. Rabbi Yonasan had been the Rav there for some years, and Rabbi Yaakov Emden lived there as a private citizen for many years. So they're both buried over there, like with one person between them, because similar to our Gemara over here, that the Noda Behuda, who was alive at that time, paskin that they made peace between themselves and Gan Eden, and therefore they can be buried together. Again. Onward. Boy, Rav. Rav has a question like this.
So we stand that
Rav changed his mind. So we stand that Rav changed his mind. Yeah. So therefore the halacha, right. We're not sure which way, but the halacha after all is like, usually when we have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, the halacha is like Rav. So the halacha wouldn't be like Shmuel anyway. Here where Rav himself changed his mind, and one possibility is it means he changed it to Rav Yitzchak, and we also have Rava explaining Rav Yitzchak, and we also had a Braisa supporting Rav Yitzchak. The halacha is like Rav Yitzchak. Be made neither be made of or nothing. Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. Next. Boy Rava. Koshi Mao Shitisir Beziva. Now let's talk like this. Let's say she has this damn koshi. Now let's say, for example, that previously she had been a Zava. So now she's in the middle of counting her 7 clean days after being a Zava. Now, sometime during those clean days, she has damn koshi.
Is she giving birth?
No, Dam Koshi by definition means that eventually she's giving birth. But the question is like this, in other words. So let's say, for example, she's due to give birth, the first day of Pesach. So now what happened previously, she'd have, let's say again, during Adar, she'd had her seven days of Nida at the beginning of Adar, then she had her 11 days of Ziva after that. Then the Rosh Chodesh Nissan, she had bleeding for Nida, and then the 11 days of Ziva. So let's say, for example, let me put it a little differently. So let's say, for example, again, she her Yemei Ziva in Nissan, let's say, start on the 8th of Nissan, following her 11 days of Nida. So let's say, for example, she bled Forget about Damkoshi. There was no pain, no nothing. She bled on the 8th, 9th, and 10th of Nisan. So those are the first 3 days of Yemezik. No question about it. She's a Zalba. She needs 7 clean days. Now what happens is, the 7 clean days are supposed to be from the 11th to the 17th of Nisan. Eventually, the 17th of Nisan, she'll be able to go to the mikveh and she'll be mutar to her husband, leaving aside the birth that's going to be coming. Now let's say, for example, she needs 11 through 17 of Nisan, are supposed to be her 7 clean days. So now what happens if during one of those 7 clean days, let's say on the 12th or 13th of Nisan, she started having Damkoshi? So now the question is that breaking up her 7 days? Does she need to start her 7 days all over again? Right. Do we say Dovram Tame Soiso? Do we say anything that's capable of making her Tame is Soiso, breaks up her days? Behind Nami Matame Kime Nido. And after all, this blood, had it come during Yime Nida, would have made her Tame, therefore it can be considered Dovram Tame. Or maybe we'd say only something that could cause her to be a Zava would be Soiser. V'hai lav goyrim. And over here, it's not something that could come to Ziva. Here it's not something that could come to Ziva, because again, the only way it could make her a Zava would be if there was Shoshi afterwards, and that's something unusual. So we would argue that's not something that could cause her to become a Zava, because it is, after all, Damkoshi. And therefore, maybe it shouldn't break up or you may ziva. Rashi, by the way, mentions another point over here. We do have a din that when a zav is counting his 7 clean days, we learned before that if he has keri during one of those 7 days, he loses a day. Fine, but Rashi says that he loses one day. He were asking if she would lose all her days. A woman, that's the point. That's over here. The question is if she's losing all her days. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya tells him, well, why don't we prove the answer to your question from the case of a woman by a male zav, onus b'ziva yechiyach, she'enei goyim. Now let's say, for example, we learned a couple of days ago that a zav is considered, a man is considered a zav only if the ziva came on its own, not machmas oinsoi, not if it came because of onus.
But
she'enei goyim, so it doesn't cause him to be a zav, the soiser, and yet we said that if it comes by onus, then it will be soiser. Namely, what did we say? We learned earlier that if he has 3 emissions of zov, let's say none of them were bonus, then we say he's considered a zov gomer. He even needs to bring a korban. If now after that, so
that,
well, it doesn't matter actually with a man if he even needs the same day. Actually, we're going to talk about that later. But let's say, for example, let's say it was on 3 days, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Now he needs 7 clean days also. What happens if during one of those clean days he has ziva again? Doesn't matter whether it was ba'onis or not. He still loses the whole 7 days and has to throw it all over. So you see that even though ziva ba'onis is not capable to begin with of making him a zav, but it can break up his 7 days. So the same thing over here. Even though this blood of koshi is not capable of making her a zav now, but nevertheless, it should still break up her clean days. And then she should have to start over. But the fact is, you're asking whether the key thing is Dover HaMetame or Dover HaGurim, and over here it's not Dover HaGurim, and yet, Amalei, so Rava answers him, Loye, as a matter of fact, yes, Hainami Gurim, who as a matter of fact, yes, even if it was Ba'onis, you can still consider, by a man, you can still consider it a Gurim, in the sense it's not, because we learned in a Mishnah, which we learned a few days ago, Ra Re'ir Rishona Bodkinoi, so we said the first Re'ir, we have to check whether it was Ba'onis or not, Shnia Bodkinoi, so the second one we also have to check whether it was Ba'onis, Shlishis Ein Bodkinoi, so the third one already we don't have to, because the third one, it doesn't matter whether it was Ba'onis or not. So we see from that that the third one, so we see from that that there can be Ba'onis, and it's causing him to become more tame and to have to bring a korban. So therefore, Robert says, that, yeah, you can call something that's bonus, you can call it a gurim. Here, my question is, it's not going to be a gurim at all. Because it's not going to cause her to become a zava.
But it's a woman.
Okay, but that's what the question is. But it's not going to cause her to become a zava because it's damkoshi, and normally damkoshi is going to end up with a birth, and therefore it's not going to be tame.
Do we have to say that if it's done koshi, but we don't know if she's pregnant?
No, we know she's pregnant. We know she's pregnant. Okay. Come on, we know she's going to be giving birth. Yeah, we know she's going to be giving birth. Okay. So, So therefore, Rava says, as a matter of fact, your proof from a Zob is not valid, because they are actually, if it was Ba'onis, it could sometimes be a Golem, if it was the third one. Okay, so the question is, so what are you going to say? According to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you do have to check the third time whether it was Ba'onis, because Rabbi Eliezer says the third time also, if it was Ba'onis, doesn't trigger a Kerman. So what are you going to say? Fine, but you have to ask what, according to him, so according to him, are you going to say because a ziva ba'onis can never make him more of a zav than he is, therefore you're going to say if he has a ziva ba'onis during the seven clean days that it wouldn't be so sir? So Abaye says, yeah, actually, okay, according to Rabbi Eliezer, yes, maybe indeed that would be the case. Maybe indeed Rabbi Eliezer would say that the ziva that cancels its seven clean days would only be if it was not ba'onis. If it was ba'onis, yes, maybe Rabbi Eliezer would in fact say that it's not so. Okay. So Rabbi's question is still open. So let's prove from our Mishnah. We said Rabbi Eliezer, or not from our Mishnah, actually, from the Mishnah in Zavim. We said Rabbi Eliezer, I'm after Shlishis Boat tonight. So we said Rabbi Eliezer had said even the third Ziva, we have to find out if it was Ba'onis, because if it was Ba'onis, then he's not bringing a Korban, says Rabbi Eliezer. But Revius ain't Boat tonight. So we say the fourth time, though, Rabbi Eliezer says you don't have to check him. Now, what fourth time? That would be one that happens during the seven clean days. And Rabbi Eliezer is saying you don't have to check him. My love was stira. The pashtus, what do we mean you don't have to check? Because it doesn't matter whether it was ba'onis or whether it was not ba'onis. Either way, it's soiser. It cancels the seven clean days, and you have to start over. So that would answer Rabbi's question. Even though Rabbi Eliezer would hold not a dover ha'godin, because Rabbi Eliezer would hold to make him tomei and to make him bring a korban in the first place, it can never be ba'onis, none of the three times. But nevertheless, the fourth time, it can still be ba'onis and cancel the seven clean days.
That's the point.
It would cancel even though it was ba'onis. So you see that even though it's not a dover ha'gorim, it's not something that can cause him to become a zav or to bring a korban. Nevertheless, it can cancel his seven clean days. It can be so to them. So that's the point. No, it's not gorim for the korban, but yet it can be so. But yet it can be so. So that was Robert's question. Dover ha'matame soiser behind nami matame or dover ha'gorim mutar v'ha'ilav gorim. Now we would say that's fine, at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, we can see that apparently it doesn't have to be Godem and it can still be Soser. Because even though it can't be Godem him to become Tomei as a Zav or to have to bring a Korban, it can still be Soser. It still breaks up the 7 days.
And he has to start all over again?
Yes. The answer is Loy, Latamuya Lahai Kippur B'Masa. Not necessarily, because maybe when Rabbi Eliezer says the fourth time you don't need to be Bodish, maybe in fact Rabbi Eliezer would say if it's as far as whether he's Soser, yes, we have to find out whether it was bonus or not. The question would be, would the actual drops of Zoiv be Matame, somebody who touches them or carries them? That we need to find out whether it was Ba'onis or not. So Rabbi Eliezer, a person picks up those drops, they landed on a cloth or something, a person picks them up and carries them, does it become Tame? So maybe Rabbi Eliezer would actually say, Mr. Rava still has his question open. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer would in fact say that no, any Zoiv that cannot cause him to become Tame or bring a Korban is not going to break up his seven clean days either. However, we still need to check whether it does. So only if it was not Ba'onis would it break up the seven clean days. If it was Ba'onis, we could say that Rabbi Eliezer would say that no, it doesn't matter. Maybe it could break it up even if it was Ba'onis, which is what Abaye is arguing. Why is Rabbi Eliezer saying then that you have to check the fourth time to find out whether it's actually Mitame, a person who touches it or not? Okay. Toshma, with that, my lab was stira. You would think, why is Rabbi Eliezer saying the fourth time you don't need to check him? Because stira, it doesn't matter. Either way, whether it was Ba'onis or whether it was not Ba'onis, either way, it cancels the seven clean days. The answer is, no, because the question would be, we could say that maybe Rabbi Eliezer would actually say, insofar as finding out whether it's so that you do need to find out whether it was Ba'onis or not. But insofar as whether the drop itself is Matame, if a person carries it, there you don't have to check because it doesn't matter whether it was Ba'onis or not. Either way, it's a drop of Zoiv and it's still Matame him. And it's still Matame, a person who carries it. Okay. Toshma. Again, let's see that same braisa. B'shlishis Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bod Kinoisa. That's a different braisa. B'shlishis Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bod Kinoisa. B'revius Ein Bod Kinoisa. In this braisa, Rabbi Eliezer again says the third time we need to find out whether it was Ba'onis or not. The fourth time we don't. And here he spells out L'korban Amarti V'loy L'stira. When I talk about whether we have to check him whether it was Ba'onis or not, I'm saying that's only insofar as whether he has to bring a korban or not, but not as far as stira. It doesn't matter whether it was ba'onis or whether it was berotzen, or not berotzen, whether it was ba'onis or whether it was not ba'onis. Either way, it's going to be soiser. So you see clearly, Rabbi Eliezer says that even something that's not gurdim, even something that can't cause him to become tomei, namely ba'onis, is able to break up the 7 days. So there you have the answer. The answer is, okay. Okay, so we can answer that Rabbi Eliezer would hold that. The question is the Rabbanon. Why? What about the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer and say you drew up the check? Well, we don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they would hold. Maybe they would accept the premise. Maybe they would accept the premise that Dover, that whether it's Gurdim or not Gurdim, it can be Soyser. They just disagree, as we learned the other day, do you dash in the S in the Pasuk over there? Do you say that the difference between Onus and not Onus kicks in by the third time or only after the third time? So maybe they would agree with the underlying premise, but maybe not. So, the question is according to the Rabbanon. So Toshma, Tony Avur the Rabbanon, Ma goram loy zoivoy, what caused him to become a zov in the first place? Shiva. What caused him to become a zov in the first place is seven. We're going to say in a second what that means. Lefichach soiser shiva. Therefore, when he loses his clean days, when he becomes a zov, he loses all of them. On the other hand, ma goram like kiryo yom ech. I read that wrong. Ma goram like zoivoy shiva. What causes him when he becomes a zov? What does he need after being a zov? He needs seven clean days. Lefichach soiter shiva. Therefore, if he becomes a zov during the seven clean days, then he loses all of them. Because in effect, it's like he's back to being a zov again. So he needs a new seven clean days. On the other hand, ma goram like kiryo. But if he only has keri during the seven clean days, what would usually happen when a person becomes tamei as a baal keri? Yemechad. He's only tamei for 1 day because he goes to the mikvah that night. Lefichach, so it's yemechad. Therefore, he only loses 1 day for 7 clean days.
As opposed to
if he became a zav during that time. So my shiva. So what do we mean when we say seven? When we said that what was caused as a result of his zav is 7 days, what do we mean by that? Ilema de matame shiva. Do we mean that he's matame for the next 7 days? What do you mean? I ma zoiva tome shiva mabayle. Then the expression should be that what is zoiv cause that he's tome for 7 days? El alav, it must mean, the Braisa is saying, what did the zoiv cause that he needs, that the zoiv caused that he needs 7 full clean days, and therefore, Dover Hagurim Soyser. Apparently what Avur Derab Oven is telling us in this Braisa is that only something that would cause him to be a Zov in the first place is Soyser, Dover She'ene, Gurim, Ene Soyser, but something that cannot cause him. In other words, what he's saying, when he uses the expression Mag Goram Loi Zov Shiva, he means what is going to cause him to require 7 new days, only something that could be Gurim to him to be a Zov in the first place, which is not Oinus. Because Oinus won't cause him to be a Zav.
Because if it's
with Oinus, he's not a Zav. So therefore, we see that only if Dover Gurdim Soyser, only if it's something that can cause him to become Tomei, only then would it be Soyser. Dover She'ene Gurdim Ene Soyser. But Zoiv Oinus, which cannot make him a Zav, then cannot be Soyser either. Shmamina, so that proves it. So that would answer Robert's question. That in the case of a woman also, and yes, the Gemara is assuming, as long as we don't...
It cannot cause him to be...
That was Robert's question. Rava's question was the difference between Dover HaMetame versus Dover HaGurdim. Over here, so Rava's question originally was about Koshi during the 7 clean days for Zava. So we're proving it from the case of the man. Ultimately, then, we just proved then that according to the Chachamim, we would say that there's a difference whether it's Gurdim or not. Is this particular emission capable of giving him the Tuma of a Zav?
If, namely,
not Oinus. So if it's not Oinus, then yes, then it's Soyser, it's 7 days. But if it happens for Oinus, just as that would not have caused him to become a Zav in the first place, so it doesn't break up, it's 7 days. Applying that to Robert's question. He was a Zav already. Now he's counting 7 clean days. So if during that 7 clean days he has an emission of Zoe, but it was Ba'oinus, then what we're saying is that won't cause him to need another new 7 clean days.
He's got an emission of Zoe. It's Ba'oinus, he's not a Zav.
Since he became a Zav, not Ba'oinus. He became a Zav with 2 or 3 emissions, not Ba'oinus.
Right.
Now what we're saying is, during the 7 clean days, Or, by the same token, only if he has an emission, not the onus, does he have to start a 17 days. Because you would have thought, because there's a difference between whether it's Mekame or whether it's Mekame or whether it's Goren. The key point of the Braisa, it used the expression, Magoram loy Zoyva Shiva, what caused him to become a Zoyv and have to have 17 days in Christmas, but it wasn't bonus. So therefore, only something that can cause him to be in that situation is breaking up his 7 days.
Why would it be different in a regular case of Ones, which a regular case of Ziva, which cannot be the Ones, and in this case,
that's what we're saying. So therefore, only if the new emission during this clean days was not the onus, which is the same kind of emission that was capable of making him absolve in the first place, that kind will also stop his 7 days and he has to start all over. But if not, then not. Applying that to Rava's question, then the answer would be dam koshi, the blood that she has accompanied by the pain before birth. If it was during the 7 clean days of Ziva, the answer would be it's not Soyser, because it's only a Dabar HaGorim Soyser, and this is not Gorim. This is not something that's capable of making Otame as a Zava, because the only way it would if there was a sort of Shofi after that, which is unusual, and therefore, so therefore it's not going to break up her 7 clean days at all.
She's tired.
So therefore, she just has to finish off. So in other words, in our scenario over here, so she had again her Yumei Ziva, so she became a Zava again, we said the 8th, 9th, and 10th of Nisan, let's say. Now, during the 7 days after that, let's say on the 15th of Nisan, let's say, she had Dam Koshi. So we would say it doesn't matter. She can still continue the 16th and the 17th, and then she goes to the mikvah on the 17th, and she's Mutter to her husband again. Okay. As far as Ziva, we said it's a special kind of onus. We had the Zoma Machnas Asma, so therefore we said that's an exception. Usually we would say by a woman, onus is metame, unlike a man. But here, dam koshi is considered the same kind, has the same exception as onus by Ziva for a man. Subject to the same exceptions because of Dhamma.
So
that's it. So therefore,
just like by a man,
onus doesn't make him absolve and also doesn't break up his 7 clean days. So a woman with the dam koshi is a special type of onus that we're saying that does not break up her 7 clean
days. Because it's an onus.
Because it's a special kind of onus. Right. Because not dovra gorin, it's not something that's capable of making her absolve.
Cannot if it's an onus.
That's the point.
Right.
So Abaya says, we have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim that koshi is not sosa b'ziva, which comes out, in other words, it comes out the same thing as what Rava says, but Rava didn't have that Kabbalah from his Rebbeim. So that was why Abaya had to go through this whole discussion to convince Rava of it. Abaya and Rava discussed it together and found it right. The E. Mashkachas Tana, the Omer Soyser. Now, if Abaye said, suppose you ever find a Braisa that says that Koshi is Soyser, then you should know how Rabbi Eliezer is. And that would be only according to Rabbi Eliezer, but the Chachamim would disagree on that. Okay. If we're able to continue a little longer. What?
Tomorrow?
No, I was thinking if we can continue a little bit. If you're able to continue a little longer, let's do that. Okay. Tanya. Rav Mirinus Omer, Ein Leda Seseres B'Ziva. Now, before we were talking about Dam Koshi, let's talk about an actual birth that takes place during the 7 clean days of a Zava. So you have, again, she was a Zava, same scenario as before, she was a Zava, 8, 9th, and 10th of Nisan. Now she started counting the 7th of Nisan, which are the first 3 days of her 11 days. Then in the middle of the 7 clean days, on the 15th or 16th of Nisan, she gave birth. So Rav Mirinus would say, Ein Leda Seseres B'Ziva, that does not cancel her 7 days of Ziva, and therefore she can finish off her 7 clean days of Ziva.
She gave birth.
And she gave birth in between, but she can finish off her 7 clean days of Ziva afterwards.
After the birth.
After the delivery. Right. What? Okay, so she became a Zava. She started counting her 7 clean days.
After
she had 3 days of bleeding, then she started counting her 7 clean days.
Right.
So she gave birth in the middle of those 7 days. So Mirina says it doesn't cancel, right? It doesn't cancel her 7 clean days of Ziva. So in other words, now the question is, we're going to have a machlokas Abaya and Rava within this. can we say that the days after the birth in which she's not bleeding, can they count toward the remaining days that she needs to count for the ziva? In other words, so we know after she gives, let's say she gives birth to a girl, she's tummy for 2 weeks, for 14 days. So let's say in this case that we're talking about, let's say she gave birth to a girl on Tetzvav Nissan, the fifth of her 7 clean days. So now, Rav Marinus is telling us that the birth doesn't cancel her 7 clean days, which means she's got 2 left to go. So the question is, if she has, sometime during those 2 weeks, if she has 2 days in succession when she's not bleeding, can those count as the sixth or seventh day of her ziva? And therefore, so she, remember, she was a Yoledes Bezoiv. When she gave birth, she was still during her days of counting after ziva. So the question is now, can those days do double duty? Can she have the days she gave birth on the 16th of Nissan? So now beginning from the 16th through the 29th of Nissan, which is 14 days, those are all the days she's Tomei. Had she not been a Yoledes Bezoiv, then fine. After the 29th of Nissan, she'd be Mutter to her husband, because at that point begins Dam Toyar. Like this, she still needs to make up a couple of days for her Yemei Ziva. Can it work if 2 of those days happen during those 2 weeks? Or do we need that the 2 days have to be after the 2 weeks?
As long as she wasn't bleeding, though.
That's the question. And among the days of 2 days. Well, it doesn't have to be there. So it could be the same thing if there were 6 days left. It could be the same thing we learned earlier a case in the previous parak where there were all 7 days where she was a zava right before the birth.
Was that 1 day also?
Same thing, whatever. Okay, I was giving an example. But so the question is, would those days count if she's not bleeding sometime during those one or two weeks after the baby? Can that also count to make up the remaining Yemei Ziva? Abaya says that, fine, she doesn't lose the count that she did up until now, but they also don't count. She still needs, so according to Abaya, therefore, aside from the 2 weeks that she needs after the girl, which ends Chokhtes Nissen, she's in addition going to need 2 clean days afterwards, Lamed Nissen and Aleph Iyar, and only then is she Mutter to her husband.
You don't have to count an extra 7 days.
But you have to count 2 days, you're going to have to count the remaining days, right? Rava Oma Enes Heseres V'Oyla. Rava says not only it doesn't cancel, but even those days can count. Can count towards it. So as long as she had some time between the 16th and the 29th of Nissan, she had 2 clean days in this case, then. Tosfos points out that this would only work according to the opinion that when the womb opens, it's possible for there to be no blood. If there was blood during the birth, then it's obviously canceling her clean days anyway, because then there's bleeding during that time.
Yeah, so, I understood that she, when she gave birth, that she bled, but if she has 14 days...
No, 14 days, she's telling me regardless whether she bled or not.
If there was blood,
then that's right. To say. During the birth, and that's going to cancel anyway. Rav Marinus who's saying that Leda Ena Soiser, he has to be talking about there was no actual blood, there was no visible blood during the birth. Lady Yavesh, the Gemara calls it, a dry birth, there was no blood. He holds, Tosfos says, it is possible for the womb to open up without blood coming out. Therefore, there's nothing to cancel. The Yemei Ziva.
Let's say she didn't bleed, but if she has 14 days, she only bled 7 days. 7 days, even though she's still tummy because she had a girl.
So according to Rava, that would work. According to Rava, as long as, let's say she bled for the 7 days after the birth, then after that, the next 7 days after that, she was tummy anyhow because of the girl, but there was no bleeding. Rava says that can count for her 17 days of the ziva. Abaya will disagree. Abaya will say that she has to end off that second week, and then there has to be a third week without blood for her to be able to be to her husband. Right. So, okay.
Yeah,
like hold on. We'll get to who the halacha is like. Omar Rava Menachem. So Rava says, where do I get my idea that the Yemei Leda can actually count towards the Yemei Ziva as well? Netanya, we learned in a Braisa, we learned this before, but Achal Chitor, when the Pasuk says she counts 7 clean days after Ziva, and then she becomes Tor, meaning Achal Lekulam, it has to be after all of them consecutively, Shalai Tei Tuma Masekat Benem, meaning there's no Tuma in between. So, if you say that the days that she doesn't bleed after the birth actually count towards the days of Ziva, then you can say, okay, so there's no Tuma in between. So therefore, you can say that's what there was no Tuma breaking up. You had 5 days before and 2 days after, let's say. Good, so obviously it counts. Obviously, there was no Tuma in between. Eli, Amit, Eina, Oila, but if you're going to say, like, you, Abaya, that those don't count, if later, then you have a break in between. You had 5 days, then you had a break, and then you have another, and then you have another 2 days later after the tumor of the week or the 2 weeks in between. And that's not achar achar. Va'abaya omalach, what does Abaya answer that? He says, Shalite tumas ziva must step is the name. All I care about is there shouldn't be tumas ziva between the beginning and the end of the counting. I don't care if there's tumor as far as later in between. That doesn't matter to me.
He talks about tumas ziva.
He says specifically when it says achar achar l'kulon, Shalite tumas must step is the name, doesn't mean any kind of tumor, it means specifically tumas ziva. Amar Rava Menah Minallah. So Rava says, I have another proof. Where do I get it from? The Tanya. Mizoiva. The Pasuk says that the woman becomes Tahar from, that the woman counts for 17 days and becomes Tahar from her Zoiv. So what does that word Mizoiva add? It means Mizoiva Volomi Miga. It means that she's Tahar from her Ziva even if she's not Tomei from her Tzaraas. Let's say she still has Tzaraas. She doesn't have to wait until she's Tahar from the Tzaraas as well to be Tahar to have relations with her husband. And the word Mizoiva also means not from her birth. As soon as she's Tahar from her Zoiv, then she can immediately begin counting the 17 days. She doesn't have to wait until the days of Leda pass. So you see that the days of Leda can count towards the Yimei Ziva. Not like you. Abaya are saying that they can only happen after it. Ve'abaya, Omalach, what would Abaya answer to that? He would say, Toni Choda Mizoiva V'Lemi Niga. He says, no, the only thing that you have in that braisa is the first part, Mizoiva V'Lemi Niga, V'Lemi Pisni V'Lemi Ledosa. Don't have the part in the braisa that says V'Lemi Ledosa. That part was added by some Tana who holds like you, Robert. I, Abaya, don't have that in my version of the braisa. Because he had the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim that the braisa goes only this way. This is how we learned the braisa from his Rebbeim. The Rava, what would Rava answer to that? He would say, okay, even if you don't have those words in the Braisa, you have to have those words in the Braisa. Rava says, hi, my, what kind of an argument is that? If you're going to say the Braisa wants to tell us the case that where she's Tahar, she can be Tahar from her Zoiv, even though she's still Tomei from her Leda, in other words, that the two things can run concurrently, so once the Braisa has to mention that you should know that works, even if she's Tomei because of the birth, then incidentally also the Braisa mentions the same thing, even if she's Tomei because of Tzaraas. But if all the Braisa is trying to teach us is that we're learning from the word Mizoiva means that she can be Tahar from Zoiv, even if she's Tomei from a Nega, from Tzaraas, we don't need that. We have a different pasuk for that. We learn that from a different pasuk that it says about a man, a Zov, that if he becomes Tahar from his Zoiv, which also means Mizoiva V'Lemi Nigoi. So even if he's Tahar from... The Abaya would answer, that's not a valid proof. You're assuming that if we say it by a man, we can automatically apply it to a woman, not necessarily. We need one pasuk to teach us about a man, and a different one about a woman, and we need both of them, says Abaya. If the Torah told us about a Zav, that he can be Tohar from Ziva, even though he's Tomei from Tzaraas, you would say, you know why? Because you have a Kula by a Zav compared to a Zava. Mishum Gulay Matame Ba'onis. As we've been saying all along, a Zav can't be Matame Ba'onis. A Zava could. Have a Zava the Matame Ba'onis. You have a Chumrah on her that she's Matame Ba'onis. Emaloi, Tzricha. V'i Kosev Rachmana B'Zava. Conversely, Abaya says, but only said the word Mizoivach by the woman. You couldn't make a Kavachomer and say that it applies to a man. Because on the other hand, there's a Chumrah on a man, a Zav, over a woman, a Zav. Because a woman cannot become Tomei from multiple Re'ias as if they were on different days. If she has multiple bleedings on one day, let's say on the first day of her 11 days of Ziva, that won't make her a Zav Agdola. They need to be on consecutive days. A Zav, yes, he can have three in one day, and he'd still be considered a Zav, exactly. Amalois, you would think maybe not. Suicha, and therefore we need the Pesukim by both of them. So Abaya says, this proof of yours, Rava, is not a very good proof because I would say that you can't learn a Kabbalah like that, and therefore you need separate Pesukim for each one.
Rava
would say, fine, but nevertheless, he's still good. Okay. Omer Abaya Menah Minallah. So Abaya says, where do I get my proof from? The Tanya. We learned in a Braisa, we learned this previously. The Pasuk says about a woman who gave birth, Devoisa Tikma, that whether according in the same number, the same type of tumor as her nigger, Devoisa, when she flows or when she's sick, Tisma, she's Tomei. And we said, Larabas is Boyala. The word Devoisa Tisma come to include that she's Matame, whoever has relations with her. If he has relations with her during the 7 or 14 days after a baby, he becomes Tomei, just like a Boyal nigger.
But he's not considered a Baal Nidah.
He is a Baal Nidah. He's considered a full Baal Nidah. In fact, some of the Mefarshim even say that maybe what it means is that he would actually be Tomei for 2 weeks if it was a girl. Just like she's Tomei for 2 weeks after a girl, in this case, he would also be. Dvoisa Titmel. No, Chayim Kor is also, that's true. But Chayim Korban, yeah. A carbon for the shaggy, right? Dvoisa Titmel Rabbis Salaylis. The word Dvoisa Titmel also teaches us that she's Tomei not only during the days, but also during the night. Dvoisa Titmel Rabbis Salaylis is even here's the key part. Dvoisa Titmel, we said, comes to include the case of a woman who gives birth while she's a Zava. Dvoisa means her flow or her sin. But the point is that the words Dvoisa Titmel are extra, because once it says Kimei Nida, we know that a Yaletis is like a Nida, and then right.
Okay. Where would you see that only by day, but not only by day?
Because you would think, because it says Kimei, so it means maybe only by day. In fact, we're going to have on the last blast of our Masechta, the last blast of all of Shas, we're going to have a discussion between Rava, between Rava and between who is it? Between Rav Shmaya and Rav Abba on that point about days versus nights. Wait. Okay. From there we learn also a Yaletis Bezov, she has to have 7 clean days. So Abaya says, my love Nakim Muleda, when we say she needs 7 clean days, doesn't that mean even that they have to be clean from any kind of tumma, including tumma of birth? So there you go then, the 7 days have to be outside of the 7 or 14 days that she's counting after the baby. So there's my proof. The answer is not necessarily, Rava would answer, why me damn, not necessarily. It means definitely Nucky that there was no blood during them. She could still be Tomei because she's within the 2 weeks of the girl or the 1 week of the boy, but nevertheless, it has to be that those days, to count as clean days, for Ziva, they have to be clean of blood. She could be Tomei from later.
That would be
how Rava would explain that one. But Amar Abaya Menamin, then Abaya says, also, where do I get a proof from? Betanya, Kimei Nidosa Kachimei Ledosa. We learn in another Braisa that the days of her Nida, after she gives birth, are just like the days of Nida. Ma Yimei Nidosa Ein Re'uyin L'Ziva. Just like during her days of Nida, she cannot be a Zava by definition, because Zava is only during the 11 days, and therefore during the 7 days of her Nida, let's say from Aleph to Zion Nissen, there's no way that she could be a Zava during those days. And also, the 7 clean days after a Zava cannot possibly be during those days for the same reason. Because let's say, for example, let's take a different example. Let's say her cycle is shorter than 30 days. Let's say that she bled, she was a Nida from Aleph to Zayin Adar, and then was saying Ches to Yud Ches Adar is her Yimei Ziva. Suppose she became a Zava during that time. Suppose she became a Zava, let's say, on Purim, on Yud Dalet Adar. So what happens? She actually bled, let's say, Yud Dalet Tesvav to Zayin. So those are 3 days. Now she's a Zava. Now she needs 7 clean days. When are those 7 clean days? They're going to run from Yud Zayin Adar through Chof Gimel Adar. Chof Gimel Adar, she can go to the mikvah from the 17th through the 23rd. That's seven days inclusive, right? Now, can she become a Nida during those 7 clean days? Obviously not. If she becomes a Nida, then you don't have 7 clean days anymore. In that case, obviously, she can only become a Nida after the 7 clean days are over. So during the time of Nida, she cannot possibly be counting 7 clean days. Ah, Yimele Dosa. So therefore, says Abaya, the Braisa says, that the same thing during the days after she gave birth, the 7 or the 14 days, She'ein Re'uyin L'Ziva, those are not days when she's capable of becoming a Zava, because she's Tomei for the 7 or 14 days, regardless. Ein Spiras Shiva Oyle Mehen. The 7 days of counting cannot be during that time. Well, there you go. They can't be during that time. That's what Abaya is saying.
He's saying that about the 7 days.
What the Braisa is saying is that during the 14 days after a girl, those are like the days of Nida. Just like in the days of Nida, there's no possibility of any of the 7 clean days being during the days of Nida. Because once she becomes a Nida, the 7 clean days have been broken up.
Right.
So the same thing, during the 14 days after a girl, there cannot be 7 clean days of counting for a Nida, for a Zava. There you go, says Abaya. So therefore you see that the 7 days of Zava, the 7 clean days of Zava have to be outside of the 2 weeks, well, after the 14 days, just like the 7 days of Nida.
Right.
There, Rava, what would Rava answer to that? He would say, Hamani Rabbi Yezer. Okay, that Bryce is only according to Rabbi Yezer. Don't a Mr. Nami Sosa. Rabbi Yezer actually, yes, holds that Rabbi Yezer holds that that those days, he, against Rav Marinus, that we said before, he would hold that it actually is soiser. So fine, but we're dealing here with Rav Marinus's opinion, so he argues with Rav Eliezer. But okay, according to him, we can according to him, it's not soiser. So then the question is whether it's oiler or not. Okay. So the question is, this that was saying that you're comparing Nida to Zava, what do you mean, Chizon and Efsha, Mishii, Efsha? How can we compare a case which is impossible from a case which is possible? By definition, you can't have that she's a Nida during the 7 clean days of Ziva. Because by definition, once she bleeds, then she becomes a Nida, and then the seven, then she doesn't have 7 clean days of Ziva. How can you compare that to the days after the birth, where conceivably there could be clean days there, and Rava is telling us they actually would count as 7 clean days after Zava, and Abaya is saying it can't, how does the, because the Braita is saying it can't. How do you compare one to the other?
It's impossible in the case of
Nida, but it's possible in the case of Leda, and just Abaya is saying, the Braita is telling us it doesn't work. But how do you compare that? The answer is, Amar Abachadre by Ami, Rabbi Eliezer. Yeah, but we just said, the Braita is according to Rabbi Eliezer, Dhamma Dhani Efsha Mishii Efsha. He says you could learn Efsha from Efsha. We learned about a case in Menachos, where you had a discussion over there when a person able to bring his Korban Pesach, Is a person able to bring his Korban Pesach from Maisa Behema, or does he have to bring from Cholin? Rabbi Eliezer says that you can't, because just like in Mitzrayim, when they brought the first Pesach, they couldn't bring it from Maisa because they didn't have Maisa Behema yet. The same way in future generations, it always has to be from Cholin, not from Maisa. And Rabbi Akiva says, what do you mean? You can't learn Efsha Mishii Efsha. In Mitzrayim, they couldn't bring it from Maisa because they didn't have Maisa yet. How do you compare that in the future where you do? And Rabbi Eliezer says, nevertheless, I hold you can learn Efsha from Efsha. So we see the same thing over here.
And here too.
So
here
too. And then Efsha Pinyah, that's right. But Rav Sheshet says, I don't even need that. Whether you like it or not, the Pasuk may, even according to Rabbi Akiva, that ain't done in Efsha Mishii Efsha, but here we have a hekish between Leda and Nida, because we said that we're learning Kimei Nidasa. The hekish between the giving birth and Nida. Because the Pasuk says, after she gives birth, Kimei Nidas Droisa. So we see that there's a hekesh between giving birth and nida. And once there's a hekesh, then
nothing to do.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether it's Efsha or Efsha. There's a hekesh that forces you to say, Ein Meshivin ala hekesh. You can't refute a hekesh.
How does
Abaya
answer that?
No, but Abaya used this braita. Abaya used the braita as his proof. The hekesh is part of the braita. So therefore, Rava is forced to say the braita is only a coincidence of the other. Okay. But a papa Omar, Ikadami, another version of how the discussion went, is Omar of Achadbe by Ami Omar of Sheshet, Rabbi Yazir, he Dhamadon and Efsha Mishii Efsha. In the second version, it's not Rabbi Achadbe by Ami against Rabbi Sheshet. In the second version, Rabbi Achadbe by Ami says this thing in the name of Rabbi Sheshet. And Rabbi Papa Omar, Rabbi Papa says in the second version what Rabbi Sheshet said in the first one, that it's a hekesh, and therefore you can't refute a hekesh, and therefore, whether you like it or not, there's a hekesh between Leda and Nida, and what applies to one applies to the other. Abaya is saying everybody would hold of that. Rava is saying only Rav Eliezer would hold of that. Okay, who is the halacha like?
Only Rav Eliezer holds of that. A hekesh is a hekesh.
Because the Chacham would say we use the hekesh for something else, whatever. But I don't know. But whatever it is, Rava would say that obviously Rav Marinus disagrees with it, because Rav Marinus had said that the Yemei later don't break up the Yemei Ziva.
Right.
So therefore, yeah. Okay, who is the halacha like? Most of the Rishonim paskin like Rava. We have a usual rule in Shas, when you have a Machloek as Abaya and Rava, usually the Halacha is like Rava. Tosfos in one...
The Rambam paskins
like Rava. Hold on. Tosfos mentions two possibilities. One is that maybe this whole argument between Abaya and Rava is only within Rav Marinus' opinion. So therefore, we'd first have to determine, is the halacha like Rav Marinus? And then we can talk about whether the halacha is like a bayah or a rabbah. Then Tosfos brings another possibility. Tosfos brings from a Rav Tam that says that this is actually one of the cases where the halacha is like a bayah. We know we have the famous thing, Yaal Kagam. We have six cases where the halacha is like a bayah against a rabbah. One of them is a lamed, Yaal Kagam. The usual explanation, most of the Rishonim say that the Lamed refers to a case in Eberim, Lechi Ha'im and Elav, but Rav Tam says it refers to our case. You may later. Therefore, he says, the halacha here is like Abaya. And therefore, you would have to have the Yemei Ziva, there's 7 clean days of Ziva, can only be counted outside of the 1 week or 2 weeks of labor.
What's the Lamed for in
according to most of the Rishonim, it's Lechi Ha'im and Me'elav, which is a case in Eberim.
which is what?
It's a case involving a lechi, involving in front of a mogli, whatever. But Rabbeinu Tam over here learns that if you made leida, and therefore he says this is one of the six cases where the halacha would be like a baya against Rava. Again, most of the Rishonim disagree with that and say that no, this is a halacha is like Rava here, like it is in most other places. But it's machlokas Rishonim. Yeah.